Chapter 25, The Great Glass Elevator. "I've never seen anything like it," cried Mr. Wonka. "The children are disappearing like rabbits. But you mustn't worry about it. They'll all come out in the wash." Mr. Wonka looked at the little group that stood beside him in the corridor. There were only two children left now, Mike TV and Charlie Bucket. And there were three grown-ups, Mr. and Mrs. TV and Grandpa Joe. "Shall we move on?" Mr. Wonka asked. "Oh, yes," cried Charlie and Grandpa Joe, both together. "My feet are getting tired," said Mike TV. "I want to watch television." "If you're tired, then we'd better take the elevator," said Mr. Wonka. "It's over here. Come on, in we go." He skipped across the passage to a pair of double doors. The door slid open. The two children and the grown-ups went in. "Now then," cried Mr. Wonka. "Which button shall we press first? Take your pick." Charlie Bucket stared around him in astonishment. This was the craziest elevator he had ever seen. There were buttons everywhere. The walls and even the ceiling were covered all over with rows and rows and rows of small black push buttons. There must have been 1,000 of them on each wall, and another 1,000 on the ceiling. And now Charlie noticed that every single button had a tiny printed label beside it telling you which room you would be taken to if you pressed it. "This isn't just an ordinary up-and-down elevator," announced Mr. Wonka proudly. "This elevator can go sideways and long ways and slant ways and any other way you can think of. It can visit any single room in the whole factory, no matter where it is. You simply press the button and zing, you're off." "Fantastic," murmured Grandpa Joe. His eyes were shining with excitement as he stared at the rows and rows of buttons. "The whole elevator is made of thick, clear glass," Mr. Wonka declared. "Walls, doors, ceiling, floor, everything is made of glass so that you can see out." "But there's nothing to see," said Mike TV. "Choose a button," said Mr. Wonka. "The two children may press one button each, so take your pick. Hurry up." In every room, something delicious and wonderful is being made. Quickly, Charlie started reading some of the labels alongside the buttons. "The Rock Candy Mine, 10,000 feet deep," it said on one. "Coconut Ice Skating Rinks," it said on another. Then, "Strawberry Juice Water Pistols, Toffee Apple Trees for Planting, Out in Your Garden, All Sizes, Exploding Candy for Your Enemies, Luminous Lollies for Eating in Bed at Night, Mint Jujubes for the Boy Next Door, They'll Give Him Green Teeth for a Month, Cavity-Filling Caramels, No More Dentists, Stick Jaw for Talkative Parents, Wriggle Sweets that Wriggle Delightfully in Your Tummy After Swallowing, Invisible Chocolate Bars for Eating in Class, Candy-Coated Pencils for Sucking, Fizzy Lemonade Swimming Pools, Magic Hand Fudge, When You Hold It in Your Hand, You Taste It in Your Mouth, Rainbow Drops, Suck Them and You Can Spit in 6 Different Colors." "Come on, come on," cried Mr. Wonka. "We can't wait all day." "Isn't there a television room in all this lot?" asked Mike TV. "Certainly there's a television room," Mr. Wonka said. "That button over there," he pointed with his finger. Everybody looked. "Television chocolate," it said on the tiny label beside the button. "Whoopee!" shouted Mike TV. "That's for me." He stuck out his thumb and pressed the button. Instantly, there was a tremendous whizzing noise. The doors clanged shut and the elevator leaped away as though it had been stung by a wasp. But it leapt sideways, and all the passengers, except Mr. Wonka, who was holding on to a strap from the ceiling, were flung off their feet onto the floor. "Get up, get up!" cried Mr. Wonka, roaring with laughter. But just as they were staggering onto their feet, the elevator changed directions and swerved violently round a corner, and over they went once more. "Help!" shouted Mrs. TV. "Take my hand, madame," said Mr. Wonka gallantly. "There you are. Now grab this strap. Everybody grab a strap. The journey's not over yet." Old Grandpa Joe staggered to his feet and caught hold of a strap. Little Charlie, who couldn't possibly reach as high as that, put his arms around Grandpa Joe's legs and hung on tight. The elevator rushed out on at the speed of a rocket. Now it was beginning to climb. It was shooting up and up and up on a steep, slanty course as if it were climbing a very steep hill. Then suddenly, as though it had come to the top of the hill and gone over a precipice, it dropped like a stone, and Charlie felt his tummy coming right up into his throat, and Grandpa Joe shouted, "Yippee! Here we go!" And Mrs. TV cried out, "The rope is broken! We're going to crash!" And Mr. Wonka said, "Calm yourself, my dear lady," and patted her comfortingly comfortingly on the arm. And then Grandpa Joe looked down at Charlie, who was clinging to his legs, and he said, "Are you all right, Charlie?" Charlie shouted, "I love it! It's like being on a roller coaster." And through the glass walls of the elevator, as it rushed along, they caught sudden glimpses of strange and wonderful things going on in some of the other rooms. An enormous spout with brown sticky stuff oozing out onto the floor. A great craggy mountain made of entirely of fudge, with Oompa Loompas all roped together for safety, hacking huge hunks of fudge out of its sides. A machine with white powder sprang out of it like a snowstorm. A lake of hot caramel with steam coming off of it. A village of Oompa Loompas with tiny houses and streets and hundreds of Oompa Loompa children no more than 4 inches high playing in the streets. And now the elevator began flattening out again. It seemed to be going faster than ever, and Charlie could hear the scream of the wind outside as it hurtled forward. And it twisted, and it turned, and it went up, and it went down, and "I'm going to be sick," yelled Mrs. TV, turning green in the face. "Please don't be sick," said Mr. Wonka. "Try and stop me," said Mrs. TV. "Then you better take this," said Mr. Wonka, and he swept his magical to black top hat off his head and held it out upside down in front of Mrs. TV's mouth. "Make this awful thing stop," ordered Mr. TV. "Can't do that," said Mr. Wonka. "It won't stop till we get there. I only hope no one's using the other elevator at the moment." "What other elevator?" screamed Mrs. TV. "The one that goes the opposite way on the same track as this one," said Mr. Wonka. "Holy mackerel," cried Mr. TV. "You mean we might have a collision?" "I've always been lucky so far," said Mr. Wonka. "Now I am going to be sick," yelled Mrs. TV. "No, no," said Mr. Wonka. "Not now. We're nearly there. Don't spoil my hat." The next moment, there was a screaming of brakes, and the elevator began to slow down. Then it stopped altogether. "Some ride," said Mr. TV, wiping his great sweaty face with his handkerchief. "Never again," gasped Mrs. TV. And then the doors of the elevator slid open, and Mr. Wonka said, "Just a minute now. Listen to me. I want everybody to be very careful in this room. There is dangerous stuff around in here, and you must not tamper with it."